Parsha Shmos, Tavshin and Beis. The Rebbe begins and says, "I ve'ela Shmos b'nei Yisrael abayim etzayim v'shteit in Medrash al shem gulas Yisrael nizkerukan." The question is, we already just got through counting the, it listed the names of the people going to Mitzrayim in Parshas Vayigash. So how come it repeats the names again in the beginning of Parshas Shemais? The Medrash explains, because the reason why they're mentioned again in Parshas Shemais, because they are in reference to the redemption of the Jewish people, their descent to Egypt is being repeated in reference to the redemption. And the Medrash is the Nachmaz, but we had the shame from the Bnei Yisrael, the Yud Beishratim, the Sabunim, the Degulah. And the Medrash goes on to explain how each one of the names listed in the Pasuk of the 12 Shvatim have an association with the concept of redemption. Father Tzichlai Habir. So we need immediately an explanation. In Habayim Mitzrayim, Retzach Bepashas, Veng De Yeridu Fun Iden, in Golos Mitzrayim. You're talking about these are the names of the sons of Israel that came to Egypt. So the words coming to Egypt indicate that we're talking about the beginning of an exile, the descent of Jews into the exile of Mitzrayim. As the story is told in the continuing Pesukim and Parshas. When Esht Aribu Zman La'achrize is given the Geula mi Mitzrayim. And it was only a long time later, over 200 years later, that the actual redemption took place. And not only was it many years later chronologically, but even in the order of the description of the Torah, Yisratzich Nitin on Zavasha, redemption of Egypt from Egypt is not discussed in Parsha Shmos. Nitin Parsha Shel Acharei Va'era, nor is it discussed in the following Parsha, Parsha Va'era, now Be'emtza Parsha Shel Acharei and Parsha Bay. But rather, in the middle of two parshas later, does it first get mentioned? So where does the Medrash come off to say, based on what is the Medrash saying, that the reason why they mentioned at the beginning of Parshas Shmos, which is talking about the exile, that the reason why they're mentioned here, at this particular junction, at this particular point, is in order to emphasize redemption. Was das ist punktverkehrt von Habay Mitzrayim wegen was ist Retzach kan? Which is the teichen, the point of the message, is the opposite of what is being described here. So if here in the beginning of Parshas Shmos what's being described is coming to Egypt, so why does the Medrash assume that the reason why it's mentioning the names of the Shvatim again is to emphasize redemption here? What about what's being discussed in Parshas Shmos would indicate that something which is mentioned is being mentioned for the purpose of redemption, to allude to redemption. That zweiten Medrash state, in the second Medrash it says, as the Geula Mitzrayim is going to be Shvil Shal Ishinu Hashemam. A different Medrash explains why the names are being mentioned here again in Parshas Shmos. And it explains that the reason why is because that was the merit with which they were redeemed. Shaloshinu es Shemam, that they did not change their name. Ruvain v'Shemain Nachsin, they descended into Egypt with names like Ruvain and Shemain. And the Ruvain v'Shemain Salkin, and so too they rose up from Egypt with names like Ruvain and Shemain. Jewish name?
Salkin means what?
What?
Salkin means what?
To leave.
Oh, Estalik. Okay.
Was al pizeh kemen zogen, as in ve'ela shmeiz b'nei Yisrael ha'bei Mitzrayim, is bad gosh eichdem zchus, zu libelech in idden seine nigel gewadim in Mitzrayim, shal ishinu ha'shma. So according to this Medrash, which we could say, that the fact that it says these are the names of the sons of Israel that came to Egypt, is emphasizing also the merit with which they were able to be redeemed. They didn't change their name. Und das ist kein Stirren zu dem Pirush HaPashit und Abayim Mitzrayim und Yeridu in Golos. And this Medrash would not be a contradiction to the fact that the substance of the discussion here is the descent into Egypt. It's not a contradiction to the descent into exile, to the literal meaning, which is the descent into exile. Well, there is not a remnant. I've in time far was in Zion der noch nigel gewonnen mi Mitzrayim. Because here it's only alluding to the reason why later Yidden were redeemed from Mitzrayim, as b'meshach ha'golos, that you should know that even though, it's telling you here, that even though now they were going down into Golos, into exile, still and all, throughout the exile, they didn't change their name. And that is why many, many years later they merited to be redeemed. As b'meshach ha'golos, anhevnik von tchilosa, wenn es gewesen hat, bei Mitzrayim, ist wie Eile, schmeiß b'nei Yisrael, shalishinu ha'shama. That throughout the entire exile, starting from now, when they're coming down into Egypt, throughout, they never changed their names. So that remez is appropriate, and it's appropriate to discuss that remez at the beginning of their descent into exile. There's no conflict between that explanation on why the names are being mentioned, even though it's an explanation that relates to the Geula, but it also relates to, it was the merit for a future redemption, was the fact that throughout this entire period, they didn't change their names, including starting from day one. But whereas according to the first Medrash that we mentioned, that the Medrash explains that Reuven is Meramis to Geula, and Shimon is the Inyan of Geula, and Levi is the Inyan of Geula, that all these names are actually Geulah-dic names, that they're coming to be Meramis, the actual redemption itself. As comes out, Nit blaze as Beshvil ve'ele shmeis b'nei Yisrael. Kommt die Geula am Eschachs Mann Lach ist 210 Shana. Not only because of the fact that these were their names. Not just giving you the reason. Not only because of the fact that these were their names. And they kept their names. Therefore there was a redemption 210 years later. Now Nachmer, according to the first Medrash, it's telling you, the Shem is Atzmam Nizkeru Kan al Shem Geula Yisrael. The whole mention of the names here and now is in order to point out the concept of redemption. Not to explain, to give you a reason for a future redemption, but because now here it's the appropriate time to discuss redemption.
Das heißt, as ve'ele shmeis b'nei Yisrael abayim Mitzrayim ba'vayzen ayv dergu.
In other words, that these names allude to redemption; they indicate redemption. Was das ist lechede bestiru zu pashas inyan von abayim Mitzrayim di riden golos. Which, at least superficially, it would seem to be in contradiction to the literal substance of what's being discussed here, which is the coming to Egypt, which is the descent into exile.
Ich darf ihn verstehen. Also, we have to understand. Leiten Pirush HaMedrash, as al Shem Gulos Yisrael Nizkeru Kan, is a filo ibn gefind abir vi abay Mitzrayim is verbunden mit Gulos Yisrael.
In addition, we have to understand, according to the explanation of the Medrash, which says that the names themselves directly refer to redemption. And that's why they're being mentioned here, because they refer to it. Even if we could come up with an explanation, which would indicate how the arrival in Egypt is associated with redemption. That the arrival in Egypt is not exclusively an event associated with exile. But let's say we could come up with an explanation that the actual arrival in Egypt is associated with redemption. Davon erst haben als Baruch auf was der Pasuk ist das Madgish. Da reden wir doch jetzt wegen der Yeridah Mitzrayim. Even if there is some association between the arrival in Egypt and redemption, we still need an explanation for why are we emphasizing that. Right now what we're discussing is the descent into exile. So even if there was some association to be made between the arrival in Egypt and redemption, why is now the time to make that point? So first of all, we have to understand what is the association. And even if we could come up with an association, why mention it here? Nachman. Even more, Al Shem Gulas Yisrael is Kelech the Gula Asidolav. The fact that we say that these names are associated with the redemption of the Jewish people
the explanations given there in the Medrash are not just explanations exclusively associated with the redemption from Egypt. If you look in that Medrash, you'll see that some of the explanations for the names given are referred to aspects of redemption which refer directly to the future redemption. That means the Medrash itself says, why are we mentioning the names of the Shvatim now when we're describing the descent into Egypt? Because they refer to the future redemption. Wir steht in der Medrash Amor, Bibir HaShachas von Shem Yosef L'Geula. As we see in that before mentioned Medrash, the explanation of the connection between the name Yosef and redemption. Yosef al Shem She'asin HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Hosef V'Ligil Es Yisrael Mimalchus HaRashah K'Shem She'Gal Eisa Mimitzray. That the reason why the name, the association between the name Yosef and redemption, is the fact that God will once again, Yosef meaning to add, to increase, that he will once again, in addition to the redemption from Egypt, he will redeem, in addition to that, he will redeem the Jewish people from the wicked, the evil empire. Tichsev, as it's written, in the Medrash brings the Pasuk, V'hoyah b'yimahu, Yosef adnai sheinus yodiv again. That the Eivishter will once again, for a second time, stretch out his hand and gather in the dispersed of Israel. So here you see clearly that one of the names is Yosef is being mentioned. The reason why his name is being mentioned in the descent into Egypt is because his name refers to the future redemption. So according to that, the question becomes even stronger. Not only do we associate the descent into the exile of Egypt with the redemption from Egypt, in addition to that, we associate the descent into Egypt, we connect the descent to Egypt with the future redemption, which first comes many years after the, not only many years after the descent into Egypt, it first comes many years after the leaving Egypt, after leaving Mitzrayim. And how much more so after the actual descent into Mitzrayim. Or with Signan Acher, or to put the question in another way, what connection is there between the arrival in Egypt, which includes, the Yerida from Yankiv and Chal Bonav, the descent of Yankiv and all his sons, and Toiv, Shanim, Yeshiva, B'Shalva, followed by 17 years of living in tranquility, Der Nachzman, Ashikha, Chulu, Chulu, then the period in which it says that the period in which the sons of Yaakov died out, and then they became all forgotten. And V'chatumim, Mitzrayim, Avim, Gipravit, Havan, Ishak, Mechulu, then you had the period in which the stargazers and the magicians of Egypt and Pharaoh together decided to came up with this plan, busy in Haven and Golas Mitzrayim until the Jews actually start experiencing the exile. What does all this have to do with the Gula Sidolavi? What is this whole chain of events which we're now starting to discuss? English is how we're introducing the whole story. Well, how does the introduction to the story and the whole story that's going to follow, how does all that connect to a future redemption that's going to take place thousands of years later? In addition, we also have to understand, which is the same thing we have to understand in all matters of Torah. As Torah comes from the root word which means that Torah provides us a direction in life. What is the lesson and the directive currently now in our situation, thousands of years after the arrival in Mitzrayim, and even thousands of years after the exodus from Mitzrayim? Okay? Ready?
Ready.
Correct. Questions we have? Yes, Lena. We can say the point of explanation, and then we will take that point and we will develop it. But first we're going to say the point, okay, to be followed by a lengthy extrapolation of that particular point. The ganze Indian von Abraham Mitzrayimah is an Emerson Gulas Yisrael. The whole point, the whole concept of Yidden going into Egypt is in truth. What's it really all about?
Redemption.
It's really all about redemption. And thus is my time is da Yerida is das Bechetzei. And the fact that in between there is a certain a lag time there, there's a period of descent, that is only superficial. That is only external. However, Pnimius, but on a deeper level, is the Yerida Gufa, the descent itself. I don't know, that we're working through. We've been over these issues before, but we're just going to go. Okay? The premise is the Yerida Gufa Nitnar Beshvil, Baal Menas, Ha'aliyah Shevagulas Mitzrayim. The descent is not only for the sake of, and in order to bring about a later elevation in the redemption. Nor Nachmer, Achelik, from that Aliyah Gulas, the descent is actually a part of the elevation and a part of the redemption. It is not only a step to and a means to redemption, but it is in and of itself actually a part of redemption. Biz, the Aliyah from the Gula Hamitus Vashem, until all this leads up to the actual, the ultimate elevation of the true and complete redemption. So everything that we experience, which seems to be superficially a descent, a negative, is not only for the sake of redemption, but actually is a part of the redemption. When the Rebbe Zakta Medrash, a ve'elash meis b'nei Yisrael abayim mitzayim, al-shem gulas Yisrael nizkiru kan, gemeint ech di gulas yidolo, and that is why the Medrash says, these are the names of the Jewish people that arrived in Egypt, and it says that their names are being mentioned because their names are allude to the redemption, they are mentioned here, because they are associated with the redemption of the Jewish people, and it demands said that this includes also, it means also the ultimate future redemption.
Oh.
Unvibald as Alan Yonim. Unvibald as Alan Yonim. Von Haboy Mitzrayim. Von Gulas Mitzrayim. Berenim Shech Eich La'achrizeh. And being that all the aspects of arrival in Egypt and redemption from Egypt are an ongoing process, Eich Bizman Hazeh, also in our time, Kimay Mechazal, Kalamalchis Nikru Al Shem Mitzrayim. As Chazal say, that all of the kingdoms that will later oppress the Jewish people are all referred to by the generic name of Mitzrayim, of Egypt. So that's in terms of the negative, the exile. In a sense, the Egyptian, the exile continues, the descent continues. On maskirin yitzis mitzrayim b'chol yoy, and at the same time we mention the going out of Egypt every day. So in a certain sense, the exodus continues, the redemption continues, is ongoing. On b'chol der v'der v'chol yoy v'yoyim chayv adam liris es atzmi kilu yotza hayyemi mitzrayim. And each and every generation, and al derev yitz, each and every day, has as obviously the addition is meant to be an explanatory note. And person is obligated to see himself as if he himself has left, and again the Alter Rebbe has left this very day from Egypt. So it's an ongoing spiritual odyssey, journey, exodus. Landman der Funaris, as Eichen dem Itzin Golas darf Mamshus and Gulas Yisrael de Gula Amitzah Shleim Echidlakam. So the lesson we could derive from this is that also in our current exile, we have to extend, we have to draw on this redemption of Israel and bring it, draw it down till it, till we actually draw down the true and complete redemption. So this process of redemption, which goes through a super, which is one long chain of redemption, which there are periods in that chain of redemption which are superficially a descent, but in actuality are also ongoing elevations and redemption. And this ongoing chain of seeming descents, seeming exiles, miniature exiles and exoduses are all leading up to the ultimate redemption, which is what we have to make a reality. Vetman das Fashtein. So this idea that the descent itself into exile is not simply a means to an end or some negative that has to be passed through in order to reach a greater positive, but is actually part of redemption itself. And the idea that this process is ever ongoing is a process which is only initiated by the descent into Egypt, but it's ongoing all the way through and including the ultimate redemption. So at the Das Vashtein, we will understand this Behaktim Dembir and Demletz Mishnah Beperek Kamadabrach. By prefacing the explanation of the last Mishnah in the first chapter of Maseches Brach. Which this Mishnah is also mentioned in the Nusach of the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Mishnah says as follows. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, Harei ani kiven shivim shana. I am as 70 years. V'loi zachisi sheteyame yitzias mitzrayim balevus. And I did not merit that they should say yitzias mitzrayim at night. I have a freshman explain that they actually said it, but in merit to find the source. Acha Darsha Ben Zayma, until Ben Zayma darshened out this halacha from the Pasuk Shanema, as it says, Laman Tiskes Yem Tseskam Eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yimechayim. In order that you should remember the day of your going out of the land of Mitzrayim, all the days of your life. Mechayach Hayomim, the days of your life refer to the days. That's what they said. What do we learn from the fact that the Pasuk adds all the days of your life? If the Pasuk told you that you have an obligation to remember the exodus from Egypt, the days of your life, you would understand that that included all days. By adding the word kol, which means all, it's meant to be an inclusion, which would mean it includes those times which you would not think were included in the words yimei chayach. So what does that come to include? Kol yimei chayach lahavi halelos. Okay, so even though this is not exactly the nusach, the lashon lahavi is the way it is in the Haggadah. Actually, in many of the Mishnahs it says Larabbis, but in the Haggadah it says Yimechayecha Lahavi Halelos. That to bring, to include also the nights. V'Chachamim Eimrim, and the Chachamim say, Yimechayecha Ilam Hazeh, the days of your life, is referring to this world. Kol yimei chayecha, all the days of your life, is lahavi, is meant to include liyameis hamashiach, the days of Mashiach. Zakt Rashi. Rashi says, kiven shivim shana. What does it mean, I am as like someone who is 70 years old? I am like 70 years old? If he was 70 years old, he'd say, ani ben shivim shana. Instead, he says, ke ben shivim shana. So Rashi explains, kvar hayisi nira zaken. I was already given the appearance of an elderly gentleman, the lay zaken mamish, but he was not actually old, but he appeared to be old. Shebas alav seva, because old age came upon him. Yem shehaviru Rabban Gamliel min siyusay uminu Rabban Elazar ben Azariah nosa. On the day when they removed Rabban Gamliel from his nesius, and they appointed Rabban Elazar ben Azariah as the nasi, on that day he got the appearance of old age. The Isl Kamama Paraktilos Hashacha, as it says further on, Paraktilos Hashacha, Eise Hayem Darash Ben Zayma Mikrize. It was on that day that Ben Zayma dashed this pasuk, the day that he became like 70 years old, the day that he became, he got the appearance of age, came upon him. It was on that day that Ben Zayma Darshan did his pasuk. The tzarech biur in the shaychus vishen the maima mit the bala maima of Elozef and Azariah. We need to explain what is the connection between this statement with the one who made the statement, Rabbi Elozef and Azariah. Well, the shaychus demit was the mishnas gezak gevarim biyayim or the bekeshim mit them yayim shen esmanu Rabbi Elozef and Azariah lenos. What's the connection between this Mishnah, the fact that this Mishnah was stated on that day, or in connection with the day that Rabbi Elozef ben Azariah was appointed as the Nasi?
But the real Chiddush was by Ben Zoma, right?
Okay.
He also said it on that day?
That's for sure that Ben Zayma said his statement on the day, because that's what Rashi just said, that Ben Zayma said the drasha on that day.
On the day
the question is, why is Bechlal, what's the point of telling us that this whole Mishnah, what's the point of the Mishnah telling us that this whole halacha, this whole Mishnah is associated with that particular thing? Okay, now, in the footnotes here, he goes into the discussion that there are, 19 and 20, that there are those who say that there are those who read the Mishnah, the entire Mishnah is part of Rabbi Elozef ben Azariah's statement. Rabbi Elozef ben Azariah said that I am like 70 years old and I did not merit that they should say Yitzchus Mitzrayim at night until Ben Zayma darshened that Kol Yimei Hayach includes the nights, and the Chachamim said that Kol Yimei Hayach includes Yimei Samashiach. That's all one long statement made by Rabbi Elozef ben Azariah. That the Chachamim Aimrim is included in his statement. So according to that, the Chacham Aimim is included in Rabbi Elozef ben Azariah's statement. And they actually learned that there is no conflict between Ben Zayma and the Chachamim. And it's all part of Rabbi Elozef ben Azariah's statement. So according to them, the entire Mishnah is associated with Rabbi Elozef ben Azariah and the day that he became Nasi. Even according to those opinions that say, no, Rabbi Elozef ben Azariah's statement ends by the words Chacham Aimim. And Chacham Aimim is the Tana of the Mishnah talking. Okay, Rabbi Elozef ben Azariah's statement ends, I did not merit that they should say Yitzchus Mitzrayim at night until Ben Zayma Darshan, that all the days of your life to include the nights. Period. And now the Tana of the Mishnah adds the statement, V'chachamim Aimrim. So even according to those opinions, the fact is that the Mishnah is still making the association between Rabbi Elozef ben Azariah's statement, which was made on that day, and the statement of the Chachamim, putting the two together. So it's still obviously some association between the substance of the Mishnah, of the entire Mishnah, and the day that Rabbi Elozef ben Azariah became Nasi.
Whereas some opinions say that the whole thing was definitely by him.
Some say
that the whole Mishnah was
the whole statement is Rabbi Elozef ben Azariah's statement.
Right.
I would say that only the statement ends by the
Chachamim.
But still, the Mishnah puts the Tana putting these two things together, obviously there is an association. Anyway.
Right.
Okay, the Mestaba Leima, because it makes sense to say, as you call the Rabbi Elozef ben Azariah, it's a Ezek Gemen, and there's Sugi and Seir, and them Tug, and there's Gevara Nosi. It makes sense to say that if Rabbi Elozef ben Azariah was engaged in this particular topic in Torah, on the day that he became Nasi, it does Fabunda mit sein Aveda als Nasi Bisrael. That it must have some connection with his role, with his job as a Nasi Bisrael. It makes sense to say that it wasn't just some random topic that came up, but that there's an association between the topic and the role and position which he took on that day. Similar to the halacha that we find that one is supposed to give preference and precedence to the study of the topics of Torah which relate to matters that are currently, that are timely and immediately relevant. So there's certain questions that if two people, there's different halachas, that if two people ask a question, who the rav should answer first. And it says that if one answers a halacha that's negeya for now, a timely halacha, and one asks a general halacha, so the rav should answer the timely halacha first. So there's an inyan of that there's a preference and a precedence given to subjects, to Torah subjects, which are directly relevant and current and timely. Okay, the Yeshleim as Aldar says, when he gets a yeder hidden, the frat, the keshmet, and the mirat terah, and the yonim, shazman, shalegram. So even though that's technically only speaking about a rav, in the order of how he should respond to his questioners, but we could say that it's a lesson to all Jews in their own Torah study that they should give precedence to topics which are relevant to what's going on in their life at that time. Okay? So, in addition to that, we also have to understand why in this halacha is there, what's the connection between this particular halacha and the fact that he says that I am like 70 years, and doesn't say I'm like an old man now. He says specifically uses the number 70 years. What's the specific significance of the number of 70 years in association with this particular halacha?
Do we know how old he was, actually? 17
years old.
Yeah.
What's the whole point of the Yishlam, like, man? Well, what's the point of the Yishlam?
The point of the Yishlam was, as we explained, which is that the halacha that he refers to is a halacha who talks about a rav answering his students.
Right.
That's the halacha that he's referring to. And he says, "V'yeshleimar," that from that how so too, each and every Jew, in association with his own personal study of Torah, should be specifically in matters that are particularly pertinent and relevant to what's going on in his time, the time of life where he's home. Ubeyur ha'inyan. And the explanation of the matter is in their Mishnah Gitzach Hareis Der Gedel Ha'iloi V'Hashevach from Yitzias Mitzvah. This Mishnah is expressing the great quality and praiseworthiness of the Exodus from Egypt. As Eich Le'achrevi Yidden Zanin Ares V'Mitzrayim, that even after the Jews have already left Mitzrayim, Hot Men Dem Chir Fun Schiras Yitzias Mitzrayim Kol Yimei Chayim, that one has the obligation to remember this event, that even after long after the event has taken place, there remains the obligation to remember the event all the days of your life. All the days of your life include Sai B'yamin and Sai B'leilis K'dibrei Benzei. Not only all the days of your life, but all the days of your life means all the time, day and night. As according to Benzema's homiletic extrapolation. And Sai B'eilam Azel and Sai L'meisa Mashiach K'dibrei Chacham. And the commemoration of this event is so extends to all areas of time that it extends not only in this world, but also in the era of the Messiah, as per the words of the Chacham. So that's what it's coming to tell you, is how awesome this event is. That its remembrance and the remembrance of that event extends for all time. All the days of your life. Why? The time of them is, the reason for this is, well, Schiras Yitzias Mitzrayim is because remembering, because the exodus from Egypt is in the words of the Chinuch, Yesed Gadol, a great foundation, Va'amud Chazak, and a strong pillar, B'Teiraseinu Ubo Emunaseinu Chu, in our Torah and in our beliefs. Demot Atzich Evgetan T'Psichas Inyan Hagul. That is when was accomplished the breakthrough, the opening of the Inyan of Geula of Reduction. As explained in the Maim of the Friedrich Rebbe, Kimitzes from Eretz Yisrael, Tavshin Ches. As Iden zan Nares von der Gede von Abdus und Gevarim b'nei Cherim b'etzem. The Jews went out of the designation of slavery and they became, by definition, free men, as explained by the Maral in Gvuras Hashem, that the transition, what the breakthrough of Yetzirah Mitzrayim was not just simply that the experienced personal liberation from a particular tyrannical regime, but rather a definitive moment in the history of the Jewish people. The Jewish people made the transition from slaves to people who are intrinsically, inherently, definitively free men, which no force and no power can ever truly subjugate or enslave. Avadayim, to use the language of the Pasuk, they and the Pasuk says, Avadahem, they are my servants. And as the mother says, V'lei Avadim La'avad, they are my servants. If they are servants of the Lord, then they are no servants that belong, they are not servants of other servants. You can no longer be enslaved by any force or power that exists in this world. Now this breakthrough, this redemptive breakthrough, is not only a one-time event, but rather it is in a manner of an ongoing event for all time. What this means in terms of the personal service of a Jew to his Creator. Yitzias Mitzrayim badayt yitzir von der nefesh alikirs von mitzorim ugvulam von der meiser agufin un elam hazer bechlau.
It just wasn't, what do you mean that they would nehem be'etzem after Yitzias Mitzrayim? I mean, are we talking about
Bechira,
free will, that now nothing can impose itself upon
them? No.
So what are we talking about?
I mean, it's free will is obviously you have to have free will in order to be able to make choices, but the point is that there is no force that can truly subjugate them. Ultimately, they can never be, no force can overcome them, no force can really impose its will on them if they choose to retain, as long as they stay committed to God and Torah Mitzvot, there is no force that can impose its will on them. So in the words of the Rebbe Rashab and repeated by the Friedrich Rebbe, our souls were never sent into exile.
In Mitzrayim they were. Regardless of their service of God, they still could have been enslaved in Egypt. Even if they would have served God properly, they still would have been enslaved.
So those people, Shevet Levi, that was never enslaved, the Hatfilah were never enslaved. But those people who were enslaved, the enslavement, the fact that they that Halal Eved Avei Zorah was not a coincidence, but it was actually as because of the power that the Egyptians had over them, to be able to subjugate them not only materially but spiritually. A Jew, on the other hand, a Jew by definition, Eretz Chassidus gives the mashal of the difference of a king whose son commits a serious crime And the king is forced to, in order to uphold the laws of the country, the king is forced to throw his son into prison. So the truth is, or to banish his son from the kingdom. So the son is banished from the kingdom, he goes into exile, and he has to take off his royal robes, and he's given simple clothes, and he has to wander from place to place, and he, you know, until he finds his place among some peasants. And he has to, you know, he has to work hard, go out in the field, and he has to work with them, and he has to eat what they eat, and live, you know, their lifestyle. But no matter, as much as superficially he adapts the mannerisms and the lifestyle of the peasants around him, he never loses the fact that intrinsically he is the son of a king. And as soon as the word comes from his father that it's time to come back, he's able to return to the palace and be the same and go back to being a prince. Because he never loses the fact that be'etzim, he's a melech, ben melech is a melech be'etzim. And being that he's a melech be'etzim, it's something that no matter what his circumstances are, he never really loses. And the ma'aser they say over that, Chassidim said over that, they could see in later years when the Chassidim were being imprisoned, at the same time that many children, that, you know, children from of royal families and noble families were being sentenced to the prison or being killed, you know, being shot or exiled, and they said you could see the difference. Even though everyone had to fight over the same slop in the pail for food, and everyone had to evacuate in the same pail, and everyone was reduced to the basic lowest common denominator, they said you could see the difference between people that came from nobility and people that did not, because ultimately they rose above the circumstance that they found themselves in. So the meaning of Melech Be'etzim. And they say also, I mean, Lahavdil, in many things in Gaish history, where they saw that people that were Taka Melechim, that were overthrown and taken out to be killed and so on, that even when they were killed, they died like a Melech. They didn't. There's other people when they take out the, you know. The same thing with a guy, I'm saying, you've been pushed by Gashmis. That's a big frat. When you talk about Mitzad and Hashem, that a Yid is Be'etzim Ben Chedem. Be'etzim Ben Chedem means that his spirit is, by definition, his spirit cannot be fully subjugated.
So what about Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim, the situation was different?
That's what the Torah says. That when they came out of Mitzrayim, that's when the Eibush says, "Avad Eihem."
You saying before?
So they can't completely be blamed for or be responsible for their actions if they were not completely.
Let's say.
Okay, so that poses a lot of questions. Okay, I'm just.
So before. Before we went down, before Egypt, we were slaves. It says here that after
it was possible that a force should enslave us and we would become enslaved. Did we make some poor choices in the process through which we became enslaved? Clearly, we did. What degree of responsibility one held in making those poor choices prior to being enslaved or as part of the enslavement process is another issue. And in a man's service of God to his Creator, Yitzias Mitzrayim Badaiti Yitzias from the Nefesh of the Kis from Eitzarim of Gvulim from the Maiser Aguf from Elam Hazibachot. The exodus from Egypt indicates in one's own spiritual journey, one's own spiritual odyssey, the spiritual exodus of the godly soul from the constraints and the limitations, the boundaries of the imprisonment that is imposed upon it by the body and this world in general.
By the way, in terms of what you said before, were those poor choices that you mentioned part of the enslavement process which was necessary for the Geula? Or was that something which is a poor choice? In other words, did you really have the Bechira on that?
Clearly there are certain choices that Jews made in history, which Chazal say clearly was kind of imposed upon them from above. But these particular choices, I never saw that said, so I mean, we could just assume that if in the process of exile, the descent, the only thing that... the only thing which we say that the thing itself is not good is the Maisa Avera. A Maisa Avera is the only thing that we say that it's not part of the redemption. Now, even though the Avera is part of the redemption, the Maisa Avera is not part of it. How do you explain the difference between when we say that an Avera, the descent, the spiritual descent of the Avera is part of the redemption, but the act of the Avera is not part of the redemption? Basically, the difference between the act of an Avera and the spiritual distance created between the person who did the Avera and his creator are two separate events. The fact that spiritual distance is a means of catapulting a person to an even greater